quiet time. And it's something we all need, it's quiet time. This article that I've distributed to you here, a copy of which is in your hands, I think we have enough for almost everybody. I want you to notice the date on it is December the 15th, 2006, and as I preach tonight, it's January the 14th, 2007, so the article is less than a month old, and it's talking about how America is gorging itself on the media and all the media outlets of our day. I really wonder sometimes as I think of all the media and the advancements in technology and communications today, and so many things I don't even know what they are, iPods and iTunes and YouTube and DVDs and MP3s and text messaging and emails and all these things, and I can't imagine what's going to be like 10 years from now. And I really wonder if this might be prophecy being fulfilled in our eyes. You know, the Lord said in the last days, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We live in a day of strong delusion. You know, I can remember a day when you went in someone's house and they had the television on, they had enough respect to turn it off because they had a guest. Nowadays, you deeply offend them if you ask them that, in some cases. You know, could you maybe turn that off, or could you maybe turn that down? I have something really important I'd like to share with you. Boy, some people get offended. I have been besides the deathbed of people in hospitals who I have asked if they might shut the television off so I could talk to them about the Lord, and they were offended. Don't you realize my favorite show's on? And the next day they were in eternity. And it's getting worse. I'm not going to read the whole article, but just by way of introduction, let me just highlight some of the underlined statements that I underlined on this article by Stephen Olemacher from Associated Press. It says, Americans spend more time watching television, listening to the radio, surfing the internet, and reading newspapers than anything else except breathing. Media use has risen every year since the start of the decade. Americans are projected to spend more than 9.5 hours a day with the media. There are more TVs than people in our country. For teenagers, being on the internet and watching TV at the same time are not mutually exclusive. Americans are averaging 4.5 hours a day watching television. In the next column, here's the statement that really got to me when I read it. People who are 50 watch more TV than people who are 20. Now, that doesn't mean 20-year-olds are ignoring the media. They're just looking into other sources of media. Down at the bottom of the second column, they really give the statistics of what it's like in America. Now, it says we spend 1,555 hours watching television, and that's up. Now, notice the words that I've underlined here towards the bottom. Watching, up. Listening, up. Using the internet, up. Now notice the next three. Reading, down. Reading, down. Reading, down. Playing, up. This is the sad state of affairs in our American home. It's hardly a home you can go by, but that the windows aren't brightened by the, what Lester Roloff called the blue hue of the television. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to do and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Notice that we're supposed to study, to be quiet. The word study is only used three times in the Bible. Once in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12, it says, study is a weariness to the flesh. And it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with getting weary studying. The second time is in 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Realizing that the Bible needs to be divided, it's dispensational, we believe that. And we need to study to be able to understand the dispensations of the Bible and to apply those things that apply to our dispensation. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Wow. What a commandment. Any of you arrived there yet? Have any of us arrived there yet where we have studied the Bible so thoroughly that we have been approved unto God, where God would say, you've learned it. You got what I asked you to. And yet that should be the amount of study we should be putting into the Bible. A workman, somebody that works out the Word of God through their life and shares the Word of God, that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm amazed at how many believers there are who say, boy, I ran across a Jehovah's Witness. I had no clue what to say to him. No clue what to say to her. We're not studying. I fear that the statistics of the world may be very closely applied to the church today. I don't know how it is in your life, but I want to encourage you to look at these statistics and realize this isn't what the Lord wants. The third time we have the word study is right here. Study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Now the word study means to strive for something, to be ambitious for something, to make it one's aim. That's what the word study means. To strive for something, to be ambitious for something, to make it one's aim. Study what? To be quiet. Well then, what does the word quiet mean? It means this, to keep quiet, to be silent, to say nothing, to hold one's peace, to lead a quiet life. This word quiet refers not only to the human tongue, but to the human heart. We are to study to be quiet. We should be known as a quiet people. You know, I've noticed something about quiet people. That when they usually do speak, there is usually great power to their words. We need to study to be quiet. But it is not only we should study to be quiet with our mouths, but we should study to be quiet with our hearts. That means that we should seek a life of inner calmness, of complete trust and dependence upon Christ in perfect faith that leads to a life of tranquility, or as the Lord said about ladies, that they should have a meek and quiet spirit, that we should be meek, that is, having the inner strength to depend upon God to fight our battles for us. Peace, tranquility. Calmness, no longer inwardly being filled with thoughts of anger and violence and turmoil and depression and despondency and anger and uncertainty and anxiety. We ought to study to have such a life of such quietness. But it takes study. Study is hard work. It is said of our adversary, Satan, the devil, two times, in Job 1 and verse 7, and again in Job chapter 2 and verse 2, when the Lord asked him as he presented himself to the Lord one day, in heaven the Lord said to him, where have you been? And he responded to the Lord by answering this way, from running to and fro in the earth. from running to and fro in the earth. As I looked up that word quiet in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, it meant not only to have that quietness of our tongues, but of our heart. And part of the definition was this. It is said of those who are not running hither and thither, but staying at home and minding their business. It is the nature of the devil to run to and fro. To run to and fro. As we study demonology, we have a little insight in Matthew 12 and verse 43. It says this, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Notice the restlessness of the demons. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Notice we see into the nature of demons here, as Jesus taught, that they are a creature of unrest. They like to occupy human beings. But then after a while, they get tired of occupying the same human being, and so they leave him alone. And they are depicted as walking through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. They are a restless bunch. And so they say, I think I'll go back to where I was and take some more demons with me. And the latter state is worse than the first. Restlessness, running to and fro, not being satisfied. That is the characteristic, the personality of Satan and the devils. But then we read a prophecy about the last days in which I believe we live in. It says about our days in Daniel 12 and verse 4, it says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I believe that prophecy there is saying that people will be like Satan in the last days. People will be like the devils in the last days. They'll be running to and fro. They will be restless. They will be walking out in dry places, seeking rest and finding none. This world is a dry place. Only Jesus can offer a human being the water of life that can quench their thirsty soul. And human beings are going to take on the personality of Satan in the last days, running to and fro. And that's how so many people are. So many people are living in a dry land, they think they're missing something, so they run here, and they run here, and they run here, and they run here, and they run here. And they just keep gobbling up more and more of this media and so on. Did you ever look at the streets nowadays? I don't know why people complain about the economy. I know people's personal economy is bad nowadays because so many have run up credit cards and personal debt. Doesn't mean the country's economy is bad. Just means the personal economy is bad. But boy, over where I live, you know, if you get to anywhere, you either got to go down Route 20 or Route 5, and I mean, it's just like raceways. There's constant people going by and so on and so forth. And sometimes you just love to maybe stand out there right in front of them and just stop and say, where are you going in such a hurry? And they're really in such a hurry going nowhere. Got to get to the mall, got to get to the store, got to get to the theater, got to see this, got to see this. Running through dry places, hither and thither, to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. That ought not to be the believer. That ought not to be the believer. The word quiet means to lead a quiet life, set of those who are not running hither and thither, but staying at home and minding their business. Do you have peace today? Do you have quietness? Have you studied to know your God so well and the Bible so well that it has brought quietness to your soul, to your heart, so that you don't have to run out to the world and think you're missing anything? The scripture tells us, envy not the path of the wicked. Don't enter into it. Many people tonight just think they're missing things, and they're not. We need to have quiet time. God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. And that's why I think many people aren't hearing from God anymore. Because God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. And the article says our world's noisy. Noise, 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 all the time. I mean, you go in the average house and either the radio's on all day or the television's on all day. I can't tell you how many houses I've been in of believers in Christ where the television's on all the time they're there. It's almost like they're companion. One time, Elijah was struggling at a point in his life, and he was despondent. He was ready to despair for life, and God told him what to do. And God said, I go forth and stand up upon the mount of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And the story goes on and says, when Elijah heard that, then he received instruction from the Lord on what to do. And shortly after, you read, he got over his despondency and became fruitful in his ministry again. But it wasn't in all the noise that surrounded Elijah that he heard God. In fact, three times it says the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. But Elijah had to come to a point where he could hear a still small voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. But you got to hear God's voice. And to do that, we've got to find a quiet place. We've got to find a quiet place. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4 and verse 31 in the New Testament. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word clamor there, if you don't know what it means, circle the word clamor and draw a line to the column of your Bible and put down the word noise. Clamor is noise. That phrase, put away, in that verse means to divorce. Sometimes in the Bible, the phrase put away is synonymous with the word divorce. If a man put away his wife, you would know that meant he divorced his wife. The Bible says here we ought to put away clamor. We ought to put away noise. We ought to study to be quiet. We ought to have quiet time. Because it is in quiet time that we will hear the Lord. I don't believe the Lord ever speaks to us when we're watching TV. Or just listening to music. Or surfing the internet. Or in the YouTube, or on the YouTube, or in the chat rooms, or sending text messages, and listening to iPods and iTunes, and watching cable television and direct television, you can just count God out. He's not going to speak to you during that noise. Now, I don't know, maybe you don't want to hear from the Lord. I do. I hope you do too. We have got to find a way to discipline our lives and put away clamor. Put away the noise. And overcome our addiction for noise. In fact, I'm convinced that there's so much noise in this world because most men don't want to hear from God. People are afraid of the quiet. They're afraid of the quiet. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. The minor prophet said, we've got to keep silence before the Lord. God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. I'm convinced that's why so many preachers, for instance, were farmers growing up. We didn't have noise. When you're out hoeing tomatoes for hours and hours and hours and pulling weeds and feeding animals and, we used to have these little trays with little one-by-one squares of dirt and you'd have to take these real tiny little plants about that tall like a marigold or a pepper or a tomato and you'd have to separate it without breaking it and then you'd have to dig a little hole there, and you'd have to put that in. You'd have to pack the dirt around it. Then you go back to the next one, and you put it in. And you've all bought packets of flowers, haven't you, at Walmart or the greenhouse or something like that? And you get a packet of 9 geraniums or rather tomatoes, or peppers, something like that. You know, somebody did that by hand, you know. By the thousands and thousands and thousands. And brother, when you're doing that all day, well, you can't break them. People don't buy them. People say, there's one missing in here. They're complaining and stuff. So you have to be so careful. You know, you're sticking that thing in there. Well, you got a lot of time during those hours to use your God-given brain. And just on the tractor for hours and hours and hours, plowing, disking, cully packing, cultivating hours and hours and hours, and you couldn't do anything but think about something. I'm amazed how many people he called who were in quiet, like Gideon there at the threshing floor, David out there watching the sheep, and other men fishing, and Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and just men who were in quiet places when God called them. We need to put away clamor. It's a commandment of God. Put away a life of noise. Ephesians 4:31. Put that away. In the article, it says reading down, reading down, reading down. That concerns me. Because we're told over in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, give attendance to reading. The closer we want to get to God, the more it should be reading up, reading up, reading up. I'm spending more time in God's Word than I've ever spent before. That should be our testimony as we're getting closer and closer to the Lord. Now, I know there's aids to that. You can get the Bible and things and put a CD in and listen to that on your way to work or something like that, or preaching tapes or teaching tapes. I understand that. I don't consider that noise because you're listening to be edified just like you would. You're receiving the Word of God with all readiness of mind and asking the Lord to speak. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all this worthless media that's, by the way, it's getting worse and worse and worse. It's getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. It's getting more and more profane and more filthy as the days go by. And believers ought to become more and more separated from it. Quiet time. Proverbs 8 and verse 4 says, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." God wants to call men. And I believe that as America has been gorging itself on the media, and more and more and more of these things are being invented, it is becoming a strong delusion to keep our men in our country and around the world from hearing the voice of God. See, Jesus said, many are called. And I believe what he said. I believe a whole lot more men are called than what we think. In fact, I'm amazed at how many men I meet who can remember a moment in their past where the thought glanced through their mind, maybe I should be a preacher, maybe I should be a teacher, maybe I should consider the ministry. In fact, I think most of you men, if you look back in your life, can remember a moment where that thought came through your mind. Because I believe Jesus calls many men. Many are chosen, or many are called. But it's, if you read it and study it out, it says, but few become qualified and become the elite, is basically what it's saying, who answer the call of God. And I believe there's just a lot of noise that keeps us. And I want to ask you, fathers and mothers, how will our sons hear God's voice if it's blocked out by the world all day? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. It ought to be an honor for our sons to be called by God. Got a letter from North Carolina. I think I told you about this. A letter of a prisoner in North Carolina. Pastor Cole, do you remember me? I sure do. I remember the times I sat down with him in his bedroom and got him away from his girlfriend. And he used to ride the bus on the route from Buffalo. And I'd sit down on his bed in his bedroom, and I finally said, "Could I talk to you alone?" And get his girlfriend out of the picture. And I can remember sitting on his bed, and I remember seeing him cry in tears, saying, "I know God's called me." I said, "You better answer God's call. You better surrender your life. You better get into the Bible, and you better get into church, and you better get into prayer, and get close to the Lord and quit distracting yourself by this girlfriend." And he didn't listen to me. And that relationship turned sour, and he did something, this and that, and so on. What other thing? He ended up in prison down in North Carolina. Probably be disqualified for the rest of his life from ever fulfilling the ministry God called him to. Now, he can do something for God. Everyone can. You better take your calling serious. We were talking earlier about the need for pastors and churches. And I believe right here, this is one of the devices of the devil that's keeping men from hearing God's voice and preparing and training for the ministry. And this is why we have 800 Baptist churches closing up in America every year. And this is why I know of two Baptist churches probably within a 15-minute ride of this church right here that, and unless a miracle takes place, are probably going to be closing up soon. And we do not have the men to fill the pulpits. And then there's a lot of Baptist churches around America that are going and they're open and everything, but they don't have a pastor. And sometimes I get the calls to my office where they say, Pastor Cole, we know of this church and such a place and such a state or everything. They need a pastor. Do you know any man that might be willing to go and be the pastor of that church? Unto you, O men, I call my voices to the sons of men. And Satan, knowing that, he wants to block our lives with a bunch of clamor from hearing God's call. What a promise we have in 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. You can't meditate as you're talking. We need to be a silent people. We need to be a think. God blesses thinkers. God blesses thinkers who have saturated their minds and their hearts with the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of thinkers in this world, evolutionists and scientists and everything, don't know a thing about the Bible. But if we, this is why we need to teach, this is why we need to have devotions at home, this is why you need to teach your children to memorize scriptures. Because if we can saturate their minds and their hearts with the Bible, there may come a time when your sons and your daughters are going to become thinkers, and God is going to use the tool of His Word to help them think properly. And that word meditate means to contemplate, to meditate, to ponder deeply. And notice that God blesses thinking people. Meditate upon thyself, upon these things. Notice, give thyself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that means completely to them, with reckless abandon. Surrender your life to the Word of God and to the things of God. Meditate, that thy profiting may appear unto all. The word profiting means progress or advancement spiritually. That they can say, boy, that man is progressing and advancing spiritually. That woman is progressing and advancing spiritually. They must be having a quiet time with God. It appears to all that that man or woman is advancing spiritually. How is your quiet time tonight? In closing, think about it. How is your quiet time? How is your quiet time? Are you meeting God in a quiet place? I'm talking no radio, no television, no source of noise whatsoever, where you get alone with God in quiet time and say, Lord, speak to me. Let Him speak. One of the statistics here says 1,555 hours watching television, up from 1,467 hours in 2000. 1,555 hours a week, or a year, watching television, Americans. How many hours at pulpit rate, public speaking rate, does it take to read through that book from cover to cover? How many hours? 72 hours. 72 hours to read that book through at public reading rate from cover to cover. 72 hours. How many hours are we watching television, Americans? 1,555 hours a year. And brethren, I know church members and believers who say, I just don't have time to read through God's Word. David Gibbs reads through it once a month. 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night. I think his profiting appears to all, doesn't it? That's unreasonable. People watch TV 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night. You know, I divided 72 into 1,555 hours. If Americans would convert their television watching time into Bible reading time, they could read through the Bible 22 times a year. I wonder if that would make a jealous God happy. You see, he took 1,500 years by 40 different authors to write this book. And then he took another 1,500 years using 7 English translations to give us the King James Bible. 1,500 plus 1,500 is 3,000. The God who made everything we see in 6 days, and someday he's going to melt it all in a fervent heat. And that which he made in 6 days, he's preserved pretty well to this day. It took 3,000 years to give us this book. Which do you think is more important? See, the earth is going to melt in a fervent heat. The heavens and the earth shall pass away. But he said, my word shall not pass away. This book's more important than creation. Now, I would suspect that if God put 3,000 years into this, I ought to read it. And I ought to meditate on it. And I ought to remember that it tells me, in the words of Jesus Christ, he said, I'm not going to judge you. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. Did you ever go to school and have your teacher kind of jolt you out of your lethargy while you were daydreaming while he or she was teaching? I used to kind of daydream through school. And I don't know what I was doing or daydreaming about. But all of a sudden, this one little statement would wake me up. She'd say, this is going to be on the test, you know. Whoa, man. I'm back. What did she just say? Do you ever remember that? Now, tonight, brethren, there's going to be a test someday. There's going to be a test someday. And the books were open. Another book was open. And the Lord is going to judge us out of those things that are written in the books. Both saved and unsaved. You check it out. I want to know the book before I die. That's why I've personally read through it 30 times in my life. And I hope to just keep reading through it till I die. Because I believe there's going to be a test at the end. Fathers and mothers, I want to encourage you to go home and change your homes if you have to. And make them quiet. Make it quiet. What are you listening to, by the way, that your sons and daughters hear? There was a lady named Susanna Wesley. She had 17 babies. 15 of them lived. The last two were John and Charles. That was what their names. That was the last two. 15 and 16. They became the great Methodist preachers, Wesleyan preachers. You've heard even to this day, Wesleyan churches, Methodist churches. Great gospel preachers. People were so enamored in her day by her parenting schools and that of her husband that she would ask for advice. How do you do this with 15 children? How do your children turn out so well? And one of the things she said, and I have it in the book. She said many things. One of the things she said is that, she said, if you ever lived in our house, one of the most prominent characteristic of our house is quietness. Children weren't allowed to scream, play. They were allowed to play, but not scream and make noise. If they cried, we found out why they were crying so they could stop it. Our house was quiet. I wonder if that's why God spoke to John and Charles, called them, used them so greatly. The Apostle Paul wrote some of his greatest works in prison. Some of the best Bible students I know today are in prison. They're finally in a quiet place. greatest revelation ever given to a man who walked the earth was while he was exiled on Patmos. Apostle John. He saw a revelation no other human ever saw or wrote about. The book of Revelation. While exiled on Patmos. God blesses quietness. We need to have a quiet time. A quiet place. This is why I think we try so hard, and Pastor Seth tries so hard, to get teens to go to camp. Because we have rules where they're not allowed to bring DVDs and iPods and headsets, and there's no televisions there, and there's no cable, and there's no direct TV, and there's no cell phones and text messaging, and no emailing back and forth or something, and they're deprived of those for 3 days in winter and 5 days, and it's amazing to us how many decisions they make when they can finally get in a situation where they're forced into quietness. They can hear God's voice. Let's change our homes. Let's change our homes. Let's change our cars. Brother Foote, Brother Clayton, both of them said to me so often, they say how frustrating it is to preach, and you ask a person by Sunday afternoon what the preacher preached, and I have no idea. Because they go from the church house into the car, by the time they're a quarter of a mile down the road, they hit the radio button, and the world comes on, music or something, some talk show, and it takes everything God said to them right out of their mind. Like they'd never heard it in the first place. Meditate. Contemplate. God blesses it. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us to be a quiet people. None of us being afraid of what you might say to us. Lord, help each of us to evaluate our lives. Maybe we have begun cluttering our lives with music, TV, all these other forms of media. We see this in America. Lord, this is bad news for our country. Because these 9.5 hours a day will guarantee that they probably will never hear your voice in that time. It just seems like strong delusion, Lord, that they should believe a lie. Lord, our delusions are getting greater and greater and greater. People don't even know what reality is anymore. Oh, God, help us. And now I pray that personal decisions would be made in our lives, as we would evaluate ourselves humbly, and that we'd have a quiet place where we'd meet with you and hear that still small voice. For sweet is thy voice. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.